For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, hello. In my ongoing quest to find the greatest 5G signal in America, I feel like I might have stumbled on that today. I'm also waiting for my ship to come in, Marty. Can you see?
Yeah, no, I can see seagulls and a little anchor there for you to put there. Can you do a good knot?
For the boat of us.
For the boat of us. Make sure it's well anchored. And can you do one of those nautical knots that is strong, but you just got to pull?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I grew up around boats.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't want to drive one.
See, like the way that maybe it goes back to my playing days is for me, like when I tied the laces at the end of my the pads with the skates or did my straps or tied the chest and arm piece to the pants or whatever, it was never the same knot. It was always like whatever worked that day. If the laces were long, one side would be double knot, one side would be triple knot, one side would be tucked under, one side would be taped. Like it was never the same. So if I was on a boat, I would drive him crazy because every day the knot would be different. Like if I would do it and if I took it apart, I'd be fine. I'd remember what I did. But if I knotted it and then you came in after me to undo it, you'd go crazy because it was always different. But hey, it worked. My equipment never really failed me. So it worked.
Yeah, there was that time that mask was a little too tight and you couldn't see anything, but
still won those two games. I still went 2-0 with that mask, just gave up 5 goals a game and we scored 6 and 7 or something.
Oh, well, that's a perfect segue to our team of the day for a little later in the show, the San Jose Sharks, because they couldn't score last year and they gave up way too much. And the last time they were good, they were one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL. So get back to that, San Jose. Make that your...
I was going to say, they average about 6.5 goals per game. The problem was only 2 for them and 3.5 for the... about 2.5 for them and 3 and 4 for the other team.
Well, this is, we sit here, September 5th, and obviously that much closer to everything we rattled off yesterday. We're one day closer. Does it feel like that for you? Like, with everything right now, like you... Like you're almost in that like Xing off calendar mode. Like we're almost there. And regardless of whether it's you're excited for Prospects Challenge or you're excited for the preseason opener at home on September 21st or the oddity of a preseason game in Germany prior to the, you know, unusual and only in the sense that very few teams do this every year, which is go to Europe and start your season. And Buffalo does that on October 4th and 5th. Like what are you actually counting down to most on your calendar right now?
Well, counting down to the prospect challenges, number one. And I know that I was at the arena this morning, Duffer.
Which one?
The Quebec Center. Mm-hmm. And I stopped by the locker room, talked to a few people. You know, I had to do some a little video thing for our great content team.
How are your keys?
My key, I saw James at the security and I said, James, do you want to hang on to these so I don't drop him down the elevator shaft again? He started laughing. But yeah, so I was there this and there was a buzz. And the buzz is because I haven't been in and around the locker rooms in a while with players, with a lot of bodies in town. There's guys in multiple locker rooms. There's the main Sabres locker room. There's an auxiliary locker room with players that are in town, right? There's some Rochester guys that have been in a little earlier. There's guys in the shooting cage that is, you know, basically past the atrium. When you come in, there's doors. You go underneath the stands. There's a shooting cage. There's guys in there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of bodies, obviously, skating a little later in the morning out at Arbor Center. So, yeah. So for that reason alone, there was a buzz. And then when I was talking to, you know, some of the trainers and some of the PR staff and whatnot, it was, hey, Prospect Challenge is a week from now, like Thursday next week. We're getting organized because the first games are on Friday and Saturday and Monday, and there's a lot going on. So I feel that's the first step on my list is, okay, who's so coming no into the Prospect the Challenge here. And who's going to perform?
Yeah, you're going to focus on the first thing first. Well, it's not a bad approach.
It's a sane approach because if I focus on the last thing first, I'm losing a lot.
I don't know. That's the world we live in, is there's just so much information, right? So yes. Dan and Razor, of course, will call the first two games of the Prospects Challenge while live streaming that. Marty and I will practice / try to hone our intermission skills during those two streaming events. And then on the third and final game, because we have a little day and a half work adventure to go on, Andrew Mossbrooks and Chris Baker will be calling the action on the live stream on the third and final day, which is early Monday evening.
I'm actually looking forward to the NHL broadcast meetings because I haven't been in a while, and with COVID and everything, it kind of stopped happening, and then it has started happening. So that Monday, Tuesday, that's going to be something that, you know, getting to see a lot of other broadcast teams that you and I don't travel often. We go on the road 3, 4, 5 times a year. And when teams come into Buffalo, often we do our show, so we're getting ready. So we miss them when they're at the morning skate. And, you know, the media guys, the TV guys, radio guys, they go on the press box. We're on the 200 level, so we don't get to see them that often. So everybody being in the same place in New York and getting to chat with, you know, Ottawa, you know, play-by-play radio guys and all of it. I think it's going to be fun. So, yeah, so that's happening. That's why we're missing the Monday of the Prospect Challenge at Harbor Center.
Yes, hopefully run into Matt McConnell, previously the voice of the Coyotes in Arizona and now continuing along as play-by-play in Utah. I was thrilled to see that news yesterday. Matt is unintentionally, probably because of meetings like you're talking about, when you know, we cross paths. I feel like I've known Matt, honestly, like since my first gig in 94, 95 in Edmonton. Like, he has kind of done the circuit, and to a certain extent, so have I. And we both, you know, find ourselves, you know, gratefully employed. And Matt's just a gem of a guy. So really happy for him to be continuing on with the Utah Hockey Club.
It's nice to see teammate of mine, Dominic Moore, is going to do some color analyst for the season. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously feel also a little bad for the crew that was in Arizona over all these years. Mm-hmm. You know, Tyson Nash, who's done it for a long time, is one of the colorful figure in the NHL.
Passionate.
Listen, if there was Arizona, not unlike Buffalo, has had some tougher times, more obviously with the business side than the hockey side over the last few years. They did make the playoffs, went to the conference finals and all of it, but Tyson Nash was their biggest fan. Mm-hmm. And the fan base loved him because of his energy. And the game would be 5-1 for the other team, and there'd be a goal, and he'd celebrate it like it was the game 7 goal, right, of the Stanley Cup final. So I feel bad for those guys who've not been able to continue on. A lot of them were, you know, ask if they wanted to continue on or not. And I think it was a personal decision not to. But a new TV crew in Utah is going to be able to do their marks.
Well, San Jose, like Utah in the Western Conference, the Sharks are our team of the day.
Yes.
And these are not David Quinn's San Jose Sharks.
Nope.
Toffoli, Wennberg, Gaudreau, Grundstrom, Delandria, Wallman, CeCe, along with potential star rookies Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, will Quentin Musty from Hamburg make the squad? And will Yaroslav Askarov emerge as number one netminder, all under new coach Ryan Warsawski, who's been there for a couple of years as an assistant, and he'll be assisted by Brian Wiseman, Jeff Ulmer, and Doug Huda, rounding out the staff under general manager Mike Greer, with former Sabres Ryan Miller and Thomas Vanek in the organization helping along. One is a scout, one on development side. And if you want a who's who or an interesting list of people that have played in the game, go through the Sharks hockey directory.
Yes.
They have so many former Sharks, so many international names. It is wildly impressive. And can they pull it all together and snap what is their longest playoff drought in franchise history at 5 years?
Yeah, so the San Jose Sharks were a model franchise of consistency for years under Ron Wilson, Doug Wilson.
Well, Ron was coach,
but Doug Wilson was the general manager. And then it started with Daryl Sutter as a head coach. And after his 5 years, it was Ron Wilson for 6 years. And then it was Todd McLellan for 7 years. And it was
technically started
DeBoer
with George Kingston, but yes.
But you had like these great coaches and great teams that were very consistent and they were good. They made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, losing to Pittsburgh just a few years ago.
Almost a decade.
It's like the last, it is almost a decade. You're right. That was 2017 and then 18 was Nashville or vice versa. But anyway, that's what San Jose were. And then the last few years, it took a really tough turn. And Bobby Bugner, great Sabre and fan favorite, right, did not get a lot of success in San Jose. Followed with David Quinn. David Quinn's mandate was basically, you're not going to be good. And I was surprised that they fired him last year at the end of the season because it's not like he was going to have success there. I felt like it was, do what you can to develop the team, the players. I almost feel like that was... I don't want to say a Ralph Kruger situation in Buffalo, but almost the same way. Like at some point you're like, you know what? This is not the chemistry, the work that we want to have. And they went to an assistant in Ryan Warsawski to continue to lead that. So that really like helped, pushing it along, but they're not the same team. The San Jose Sharks are going to have a ton of talent. It's just going to be young talent, unexperienced talent that is going to be leading the way next year.
I don't know about that. That's why I mentioned all the veterans that they're bringing in.
Yeah, but I don't think that Tyler Toffoli is moving the needle in the talent pool as much as, he's a good player, but I don't know that he brings in that Barkley Goodrow. I mean, great. You add veterans. I say the talent for me is who are the guys that you're buying a ticket, you're turning the TV to watch? You're
going to watch
Celebrini and Will Smith. Those are the two. Young talent, great, like Connor Bedard last year.
And maybe Askarov.
Maybe Askarov. You're right. I think there's going to be some interesting pieces in San Jose. Does that make him competitive this year? I don't think they're going to be what they were last year, but they're also not going to be pushing for a playoff spot this year, which is fine. That's not where they're at right now.
Yeah, they were under 300 in points percentage. They were tied for their third worst mark
that
in franchise history.
You mentioned the goals for and goals against. I mean, they were 31st in goals for and 32nd in goals against. And it doesn't matter. If they were up 3-0 last year, you had to expect they were going to lose 5-3. Like, that's how bad things turned out often in the season.
Well, they averaged losing 4-2 basically every game. But if you want bad, go check out their second year in the NHL. Unbelievable. Like, historically bad, yet there they were in year three and upset Detroit in round one in 7 games. Jamie Baker. Unbelievable. And from that point on, you talk about their consistency. From 93-94 season through the 18-19 season, they made the playoffs 21 out of 25 years. Mm-hmm. Now, that long ago, Stanley Cup final appearance, yes, it was 2016, was then followed by a couple more playoff appearances and then a trip to the conference final. Yep. This was in 2019. They got to game 6 and lost to eventual Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after that ill-fated moment on the ice?
In 2019?
The summer of 19.
Did Joe Thornton leave?
No, that was the problem. They continued to stay attached to Joe and Marlowe and others, and they let their captain, Joe Pavelski, walk.
The franchise
has been doomed ever since.
He went to Dallas, right? He was supposed to be done, and then he went to Dallas and had, like, fantastic years until his retirement this summer.
He had 0.79 points per game in the course of his career, which was a terrific one with San Jose. In the 5 years that followed with Dallas, 0.83 points per game. He went up in the latest years of his career. It's almost unprecedented. The level, like, it's fine to have a blip and, you know, whatever, you're a depth player. He was an elite player who somehow produced at a higher points per game. This franchise has never recovered. And I know they've been going this way perhaps for a reason. But the only reason they started down that path was because unexpectedly, after a conference final appearance, they hitched their ride to the wrong people and they killed the chances of Pete DeBoer continuing along as a terrific coach. He was ousted halfway through the next season. Bob Bugner did not improve things record-wise in that year or in the years that followed. And it's crazy. It's heartbreaking. Like, Sabre fans know this. They have identifiable points where they get frustrated when things turned, right? That's just the reality. And Shark fans are living through it too. You know, you said it. They were a model of consistency.
So when they lost Joe Pavelski, they kept Joe Thornton. Patrick Marleau had already left for Toronto before
that. But
Marleau
came back. That was the
But
thing.
He came back. So that year, he starts in Pittsburgh. And, you know, like, no, he actually starts in San Jose and then gets straight into Pittsburgh. So they basically said, it's okay if we lose Joe Pavelski, we're going to bring back Patrick Marleau. And Patrick Marleau is going to fill that spot. Well, no, that didn't work. And then they traded him to Pittsburgh just to bring him back the year after for one more season, the last one of his career.
There's more to it. Obviously, Evander Kane had come into the picture. So he had a big contract and he was producing too. And it was, look, I get it. There is no blame here. In fact, what needs to be reinforced
There's
is something.
No blame. Let's put that on the big letters. There's no blame.
No, in the sense of, and Doug Wilson has already taken the blame for this. Like, he has obviously, how can you walk away from acknowledging what transpired? It wasn't like Pavelski just went and retired in Dallas. He literally kept earning contract after contract with the Stars because of how good he was. But the point of the matter is, and I don't know how many hundreds of times I have said this either on air or off with you or anyone else who's having a hockey conversation. The worst thing that can happen in the salary cap era is to be a very good team that doesn't win.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep paying people as if you have won. And they never scaled the mountain. They didn't do it in 16. They didn't do it in 19. They didn't do it in all those years in the decade prior. When they just, you know, all of a sudden
players are performing and they're comparing their stats to other teams and other players. And they say, I got to make that much money. And it keeps rising.
The Sharks were really good. But guess what happened? Chicago and LA started winning all the cups from the Western Conference and the Sharks couldn't get there.
And then it was Pittsburgh and they lost to Pittsburgh. And then it was Tampa and the San Jose Sharks were gone. Yeah. That was it.
It's tough. It's tough. They had Burns and Carlson and Vlasic, and they had all this money on the blue line, right? They still have 2 years with Vlasic left, but now they're fine. I mean, they have $7 million in dead cap this year. It really doesn't matter. They can see their way out of whatever contractual holdbacks they had. However, the one thing that amidst all those names, veterans and potential star rookies, let's wait and see on Celebrini and Smith this year.
Yep.
The one name we haven't mentioned is Logan Couture, the captain, who played 6 games last year. Yeah, he's 35 years old. Yes, there are still question marks as to when he will return this year. The fact of the matter is, the year prior, in his last healthy season, he had 67 points. So even if you downgrade that and throw in Logan Couture at 58 points, with the 6 veterans and the talent up front, like, They might be okay here.
Andrea, it's a good piece from Dallas, and they've got good pieces. If Logan Couture is in their lineup, it obviously makes them better. Noted Bills Mafia, Logan Couture, big fan. He's probably going to be watching on Sunday as Arizona comes in to play the Bills from out west. So, but here's the thing, Duffer. I'm having a hard time grasp the right answer to this or that for you on this Thursday afternoon. Which one will get better next year? And by better, I mean like has to be significantly better. The goals for per game, which were 31st at 2.2 last year, or the goals against, who were last at almost 3.98. Which one would you say is going to have a significant improvement moving forward? Because I cannot decide. I cannot think if it's going to be the offense that's going to light out on fire or if the defense that's going to get better, because it's hard to put my finger on it.
You see that?
You're trying to get out of it. You're sitting on the fence.
Why am I not seeing it? Oh, here. You can't see it. What do you call it? The mooring. Why can't you not see it? I'm trying to find
way. Yeah, you're going the right direction.
Am I going the wrong way?
You're hiding it.
Anyway, how did we start the show? The both of us. That's exactly what's going to happen. Both of them are going to improve by half a goal per game. The offense will be around 2.7. The goals against will come down below 3.5. What will
they better get great goaltending because I don't love their defense. I know they're not going to be
they're not going to be at 3.9 goals against again.
You know what? I don't like their top pair of Ferraro and CeCe and then Wallman and Ruda. And then lastly on the third, I think their defense is really, really suspect.
Well,
and
the good news is they got Sam Dickinson 11th overall in the draft this year when nobody thought he was falling anywhere close to out of the top 10. So,
yes,
you know,
and I get that. That's what San Jose did.
They made the deal
with Buffalo before the draft to move up in the draft. And then they ended up getting that pick, but that's down the line. But I think Lackwood and or Askarov and or Vitek Vanacek, one of those guys is going to be busy because I think the San Jose Sharks are going to say, let's be fun. Let's create offense. Let's have Celebrini. Let's have Will Smith. Let's have, you know, Bordalo. Let's have all these young guys play a lot of minutes. I think it's going to put a lot of stress on the back end, and I don't love their back end. So that's one thing. Here's another question. There's a trick question for our audience. But I know you know the answer because you probably have done your research, and maybe you don't. Maybe it's not something that you focused on. But if I asked 100 people, we're playing Family Feud here. If I asked 100 people, who led the Sharks in goals last year? A survey said, like, would it be a very low number of people that would get that?
There would be 3 strikes on the one side.
Yes.
and there would be an immediate buzzer on the team trying to steal.
They would name somebody that's not on San Jose's team. They would have a better chance naming somebody
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
guessing Vancouver Fabian Canucks. Zetterlund. No one's guessing Fabian Zetterlund, right?
Fabian Zetterlund at 24 goals. He was the only 20-goal scorer of the team. They didn't have anybody at 20.
You could have picked points also.
Well, I was going to say points. Who picks Michael Granlund as the leader in points at 60? Granlund nobody even had 50.
Roasted at the start of the year for not performing up to his level because he was supposed to be an example for everybody else, right? Well, he thankfully turned it around and ended up having a, you know, pretty good season on a terrible team. Like, that's tough
nobody
every single night. Like,
had 50 points. He was the only 50 points player at 60. Everybody else was 40-something.
Well, they traded their 100-plus point defenseman and leading scorer from the year before.
Erik Karlsson. So. And they traded Hurdle as well. And, you know, that's – but still, you think, like, come on. Like, we're in a day and age where offense is the prevalent thing. You'd think somebody else would be at least at 50 points. No, so it's Fabian Zetterlund and Michael Granlund that were the leading offense last year for the San Jose Sharks. Like, I think that's going to change this year.
One name that came up a lot. Were you looking for a boat mooring?
I dropped my book.
Oh, my gosh. I love the fact that I have no comprehension of camera position left or right. Is that stage left or stage right? I don't
know. You're doing it reverse, too, so that's
why. Is my shirt backwards to you?
No, you're fine, but the way you see yourself in the screen is backwards.
Rust Belt Life, baby. Woo!
Rust Belt Life.
A classic Buffalo band from years gone by. I'll add more on that later, but... So,
Buffalo went 2-0 against the Sharks last year, Duffer.
They
will go 2-0 against the Sharks this year again, which now, you know, yesterday I said, I have no idea who's the next team come in. I don't know what the projection or predictions are going to be. But with this 2-0 record against San Jose, that puts the Sabres at a 33-23-5, 71 points in 61 games so far. We still have 21 more games to go over with all the teams, but they're at plus 10 right now. So if they were on that pace, they would be in a playoff spot.
Yep.
Like at this point, they'd probably be sixth or seventh at that pace at plus 10 right now with 21 games left.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm trying to think of what else here on the Sharks side of things. Like you didn't really come across with confidence on Couture's impact. Like, you kind of brushed it off. Like, do you think he'll come back and be reasonably impactful or no?
I think that if and when Logan Couture comes back, he will have an impact that you can feel, that you can see. But if I'm Mike Greer, if I'm Ryan Warsawski and the San Jose Sharks, I'm saying that Logan Couture comes back and gives us 30 points, 40 points, 60 points, plays 30 games, 80 games, whatever. It doesn't matter. I want to be able to put all my eggs in the Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith basket, and even Askarov basket. Like, I know a little while ago when Askarov was traded from Nashville to San Jose, I almost feel like he's going to start in the AHL with the Barracuda and work his way back to San Jose. And now I think, you know what? Play Askarov. Play him 50 games this year if you want to. Like, play Macklin Celebrini. Play Will Smith. It does not make it. He's already signed his contract. It's not like you're holding back saying, we don't want him to get too much action because he's going to want more money. He signed his deal. Play him.
Why is it that I'm always wired to win now? And, like, you're probably 100% right with how this season is going to play out for San Jose. But I'm like, what is the point of adding all the names that I rattled off unless you're actually trying to
win?
Get, like, here's the thing. Like, San Jose, because of all those coaches that you mentioned and the consistency of players and leadership through the course of their first 25 years of existence, they exhausted the honeymoon period of hockey in San Jose. It could not have gone better, save for winning a Stanley Cup. All that being said, recency bias is real.
Yeah.
And when you have politics involved, i.e. arena negotiations, all that kind of stuff.
Relocation happened, right? Like, there, we don't know.
There is an urgency to be better. Remember, I did a little spontaneous trip somewhere between end of Sabres season and the draft?
Yeah.
I was in California. I was not far from the infamous Oakland Coliseum.
Oh, boy.
Driving down a throughway, and there on a big, shiny electronic billboard, touting what the Sharks were going to do at the draft. Macklin Celebrini. And I was like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
This is great.
They're promoting the Celebrini before. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, see, this is how important it is right now. And first of all, I don't know what Celebrini can do right away. What if he can, what if him and Smith can be really, really good? Like,
and William Eklund as well could be on the top six, and he's just 21 years old.
Right.
They could be very good. Look, the Toffoli signing.
Yeah, when we say very good, obviously it's relative to where they were. It's not very good, like they're going to challenge for the division, but maybe they're not, you know, like maybe they're somewhere around 80 points. That would be amazing.
Well, that would be amazing. But do you think that Celebrini could have, like Connor Bedard last year was 61 points in 68 games, 22 goals. Is Celebrini approaching what Bedard did last year?
No, but if you add 30 goals from Toffoli, 50 points from Couture, 50 points from Celebrini, close to 50 from Smith, maybe it's only 35, but who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I just think that, you know, remember who the talking point was at the trade deadline last year? Alexander Barabanov wanted to go to a contender after doing absolutely nothing almost the entirety of the year. Right?
He wanted to go he was demanding a trade to a contender. You're like, what have you done? But you're right. But the Toffoli deal puzzles me because everything else they did was in the short term, right?
Correct.
Wenberg, 2 year. They acquired Barkley Goodrow, but look, he was going to get bought out anyway. If San Jose want to buy him out after a year, that maybe just is a 1 year thing. Cody Ceci, 1 year. Wallman, 2 years. So that's short term. And then they signed Toffoli to a 4 year deal, $6 million a year. For Tyler Toffoli. Now I'm like, wait, what is that? Like, if you don't have the Toffoli deal, you're thinking this is a team that's just looking short terms to rebuild in 2 years. But then Toffoli is there for four.
Right. But after this year, they go from dead cap at $7 million down to four, down to four, down to one. And the floor is going to keep going up. And they're still at the bottom right now when it comes to team salary. So you do have to get to the floor. And obviously,
if
they like
to
pull
it. On long-term IR at some point, you lose that $8 million anyway. So you got a lot more cap.
Right. And if we talk any longer, we're going to be on the floor, if not under.
Oh, my gosh. It's way late for the break.
We're talking marketing and theme nights next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Time to talk Sabres upcoming season from a theme standpoint, from a marketing standpoint. And obviously, Kara Murphy is going to join us as VP of Marketing for the Sabres. Because, Kara, there's always something new, right? Every year when you roll things out, whether it's giveaways or theme nights or a combination of both.
There is. Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good.
You didn't stop by the Sabres Live, basically our location at KeyBank Center the other day, but your dad did. So that was great. He stopped by, said hi to everybody. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, he was messing with me. He's like, should I jump in there? Should I not? I'm like, go for it. And then he's like, he didn't realize though that you guys were not just, it wasn't just radio. He's like, oh shoot, it was on like, you know, TV. I'm like, oh yeah, dad, like, you know. So he's like, okay, well, I think it was, I hope it was okay. I'm like, it's fine.
RJ set the precedent with that. So anybody and everyone is welcome to walk through the screen, right, Marty?
RJ did it the best of all people. RJ, there was a goat crossing right in front of the camera 1 year. And the great, you know, Rick Jenner did it. The great Mike Foligno did it. So that's right. Like anybody can do it. I love it. So, so let's talk theme night. We mentioned it the other day, but you know, now that it settles in, very excited for the many different theme nights at KeyBank Center for the season. I know we got some new one. I'm really excited about Bandit Land on Ice because I want to start using some of the Bandits like chant in Sabres games, and I hope that it gets started. If somebody takes a penalty, let's get the box chant. Let's go. Like, let's do it and steal it from the Bandits and bring it to the Sabres.
That would be awesome. Can you imagine if that was a thing and then we started it? Yeah, so that one there, you know, it was fun. We were going to pay tribute to the back-to-back champs, you know, the Buffalo Bandits, and have some player appearances at that game too. And just as Marty, as you mentioned, you know, hopefully getting some of those chants started and bringing in some of the bagpipers and the themes of the Bandits. And really making it feel like it's Bandit Land in the Saberhood, if you will. So looking forward to getting that going. And there'll be a giveaway for fans at doors too, looking to do a co-branded type t-shirt for the first, you know, 7,500 fans. So looking forward to that one for sure, and kicking off the Bandit season.
What about some of the other giveaways, Kara? Obviously, I mean, you know, there are collectors, there are, you know, there are fans that just, for obvious reasons, just love being able to take something home from an event and add it to their, oh my gosh, I can't even like begin to describe the collections that people have of things accumulated over 50 plus years with this team.
Well, Jeff, we're going to have a fun one to add to your Thanksgiving table this year. Which I think could be a staple for years to come for families, centerpieces or their table. But for Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, we play the Minnesota Wild. And it's been a fun night here in Buffalo anyways, right? People rally around that night, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving anyway. So we have a game. We're lucky to have a game. And we're going to be giving away a Sabres gravy boat, which is like a Zamboni ice resurfacer, I guess we should call it, you know, gravy boat. So it's kind of themed that way. And so we're hoping it's a staple on many tables to come for many years.
Yeah, that's always fun. Like the bobbleheads, and I know that there's going to be bobbleheads as well. And when Shohei Ohtani had a bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium maybe last month, and there was people out there very early in the morning. I went to Dodger Stadium one year and they were giving a Hello Kitty bobblehead. And as I was leaving the Dodgers game, people in the parking lot were like, we'll buy it off of you. Like they become such collectibles. I have a French Connection bobblehead, three of them in their boxes. They're actually my son's, but bobbleheads, like what are we expecting with bobbleheads this year?
Yeah. So looking to release some through some ticket packages this winter, but also too, we're going to have a bobblehead on Fan Appreciation Night. So on April 17th, a giveaway at doors there. And we're actually going to, instead of us just deciding, right, like who's the player, what's the theme, and making it a fan choice. So we'll be in the next few weeks here putting out some voting to the fans, and they can chime in on who they think it should be and what the kind of design concept should be too. So really make it a Fan Appreciation Night fan choice bobblehead selection for the 17th of April.
Yeah, it's obviously we talked a lot of black and red yesterday with the 15 games being unveiled the heavy emphasis on Friday. Take us through just, you know, what led you to push that part of the black and red, and how you feel in your position and with your team about how do you guys feel about, you know, where the appetite still is for the black and red after, you know, being able to enjoy it the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, right? Because we launched a few years ago now, and that first year was great because it was new and it was different. And then year two, still kind of fun. We had a back in black and red night last year. And you know, in the third year of wearing these, the hype is still there. Fans love them. The players like wearing them too. And it just changes up the you know, the look, I guess, from the blue and gold, and makes it, it's a fun, different game atmosphere too, and different graphics. And so really try to play it up, and we're able to wear it 15 times, which is the league max for your third jersey. So, you know, with the Fridays, we're thinking, you know, sometimes you, as a fan too, you'd like to know when you're going to a game, on this night, they're going to be in this color, right? It's kind of easy to remember. It's something kind of fun too. And so we had the concept of the black and red Fridays. We have six home games this year that are Friday nights. One's an afternoon game, I think, after Thanksgiving. And we said, let's kind of theme them out. The team can always, you know, we'll always be in these jerseys. We'll have a pregame happy hour in the blue zone prior to the game, alumni appearances, autograph signings up there too, and then some contests and giveaways, and just make it a thing, right? And as a fan, I think it's kind of nice when you're thinking about after work on a Friday, what jersey do you have to throw on? It's a black and red Friday. Throw on your goat head. So it's a little bit obviously simple for the fans too in that regard, but we can make a little bit of a theme out of it.
You mentioned the Sabres alumni, their appearances, they walk around, they sign autographs. You know, we're getting a lot of different alumni to come in the last couple of years, which is great. It's not just the local guys. Guys are coming from out of town, coming for a weekend. They have different appearances. How excited are the fans to see some of their favorites from years past to come in, and not just the older guys? And I start to put myself in that older guys category, but there's some new guys, the young guys that are coming through as well.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like, I know, as obviously someone who works here, you know, and you mentioned my dad too, it's just, it's nice seeing the old regime, if you will, coming through the doors, and regardless of what decade they played for. And you're, and we are, like you said, Marty, too, seeing some of the newer alumni too, you know, who may be currently with the team in a different fashion, or have a little more free time, that they are able to come around and be here for these appearances. So it's great. Our fans love it. The nostalgia too. And a lot of these guys wore the black and red, so it's very fitting too for the Fridays. But anytime we can welcome back our alumni and have interactions for fans and our alums to meet and greet and see each other, it's a special thing.
What's new with FanFest this year?
Yeah. So the 14th, September 14th, all my days are running into each other. We're hosting Buffalo Sabres Fan Fest, presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. So we're starting that early Saturday morning, 10 a.m. And we're kicking off with the Hockey Fest. And there's a good amount of teams. I think you guys had Ed on yesterday. I'm sure he spoke about that. But, you know, it's a great way for us to kick off the season. We have about 20 plus players in attendance for that day who'll be mingling and signing autographs and doing some onstage programming. We'll have hockey activations for kids and families, a kid zone, right, with your balloon animals, your glitter tattoos, your make your own trading card activation presented by Ticketmaster. So really looking forward to all the different things. You know, you go back to maybe Zach Benson's days of, I think you mentioned he was worked at the carnival, right, back in the day when he was a young buck. Having a little bit of a carnival atmosphere too, with some of the carnival games we'll be bringing in. So, you know, looking forward to hosting our fans here and kicking off the season, and encourage everyone to come down on the 14th with their families and enjoy some food and mingle with the players. And there'll be a special lineup, on sabres.com/fanfest. You can check out, our lineup. We're going to add all the programming there here in the next coming days.
And the Prospect Challenge, it's great, right, Karen? Oh, yeah. They're right there. So you go in and out the Harbor Center, you got hockey that night. Like, there's so much happening around the arena with the Lecom Harbor Center as well.
Yeah. So the Prospects, like you mentioned too, right? They're kicking off Friday that 13th, and then they have a game that night of FanFest at 7 p.m. at Harbor Center. So we're hoping fans can, you know, stay here during the day and then head over there at night and catch the Sabres.
Kara, sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Enjoy the last couple of days of summer before everything gets ramped up on the ice next weekend.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There's Kara Murphy, VP of Marketing for the Sabres. There's a look at the Prospects Challenge schedule. Sabres kick it off against Columbus on the 13th. That is a Friday night game at 7 p.m. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
More time than usual in the final segment after going long in the first segment. Sometimes the math just doesn't add up, and you know what? It might not have added up for even Seth Jarvis. Sounds like he might have had to do a tutorial with his agent on how his new contract broke down, but he's embracing the money look, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, the hug money shirt that the Carolina Hurricanes always have great ideas with the bunch of jerks shirts a years back, right? When Don Cherry called them a bunch of jerks for their post-game celebrations, they went with it. This is a fan that designed this money shirt where Seth Jarvis is hugging a bag of money, and he embraced it, and they're selling them online, and they're a huge hit right now, so that's good. But you're right. He said he wasn't sure what the deferred payments were like. Like, he had to be explained, and he still doesn't know. But, hey, whatever. Get an agent, and he got him the money, and that's good.
He did, and obviously, you know, Carolina, not our team of the day today. We may have set a record with a lengthy conversation on one of the worst teams in recent
NHL. With a 32nd overall team, that's a lengthy celebration.
But you know what? If you're going to celebrate something, last night was a good night to be watching the U.S. Open.
It was a fantastic night for Jessie Pegula and her team. She beats number one in the world, Iga Swiatek. Jesse Pegula was 0-6 in majors quarterfinals. This is our first semifinal appearance. She'll be playing tomorrow, at tonight, actually, the late match at 9 o'clock. So she's playing on back-to-back days. But and she did something in the warm-up stuffer, and because there was no action leading up to the 7 o'clock match yesterday, ESPN was showing their warm-ups. And the way it works in tennis is you're going to do rallies back and forth, forehand, backhand. Then somebody's going to hit volleys at the net. Then you change, like the other person hits volleys. Then you warm up your serve. And usually you don't have anybody receiving the serve. You're just hitting serves to warm up for the start of the match. But Jessie stopped warming up her serve and then went to receive some of Iga Swiatek's serves. And it kind of threw Swiatek off a little bit. She had not been broken in 26 straight service games. And Jessie broke her in the first two. She sat there and basically played the mind game in the warm-up. And it really worked to her advantage. And then it threw Swiatek all over the place. She even went and changed her outfit after the first set. She went for a kit change, completely coming out in white. And she had bright colors before. Like, just was lost in this match. And yes, she didn't play well, but Jessie Pegula did really a lot of damage in playing different shots. And it was so much fun. I watched it, and I was impressed and surprised. Now, this is not the first time she's beaten Iga. She's beaten her four times now, so she's had her way with her.
Did you ever have a full kit change after a bad period?
No. I hated moving, even removing my jersey. I hate it. I'd come into their locker room, gloves on the ground, helmet, change the sweatband in the helmet, put a towel around my neck. And if I had to change anything, I hated it.
Are any of those headbands still around?
Yeah, there's some in my mask, probably some old ones that are like, I've cleaned them over the years, but
what
colors were they? What's that?
What colors were they?
They're just like gray or whatever. They just Velcro on the inside of your mask. So they sit on your forehead and they take the sweat away.
I'm thinking like Kelly Rudy.
Like a headband around the head. No, I didn't have that. That would have bugged me. I wouldn't have liked it. But anyway, big wins for both Jesse Pegula and the White Sox, who beat the Orioles yesterday to end their streak and their fifth win since the All-Star break.
Still time for another big streak for the Sox, as there are just under 20 games remaining in the regular season. We have one more day to go in this week of Sabres Live. That happens tomorrow. We'll see you then.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.